We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show is underway now. What's up, Upstate South Carolina? It is great to be with you again. Rob and Diesel with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, for spending your time with us. We appreciate it very much. My man Diesel back in the network studio in charge of buttons, switches, levers, knobs, and everything else that he's got to do, push, pull, and yank on to make the show sound as good as it does today. Be a part of the program, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN is the number to be a part of the program. So, a couple of things that we have really hit on today that I want to keep going. We talked about the ratings that have been going on in sports so far during these weird, weird seasons that we've been watching play out. We've had the discussions, obviously, regarding ratings being down significantly for the NBA, college ball, baseball, horse racing, hockey, soccer. The MLB, they've all been down, and we've been discussing a little bit about why that is the case. I have given you a couple of reasons. The biggest one for me is just it's kind of twofold. It's number one, that the seasons are all jumbled together. They're all weird. They're all off, and so it's very difficult to schedule things when games are just in weird places. Sports are kind of cannibalizing each other, right? I mean, you've got NBA finals games going up against NFL games. You've got Major League Baseball games going up against Monday Night Football games. Major League Baseball playoff games going up against college football on Saturday. I mean, it's difficult. And unless you're a nerd who does not have a woman to make better decisions for him in his life than I do and have three or four TVs in your living room, you can't put eyeballs on every single one of them. So, of course, the ratings are down. There's another reason that I think comes into play. And Diesel, I forgot to mention this one in our last segment, but it is the growing prevalence of streaming outfits where you can, like it or not, go online and you can stream games for free, right? Like, I've got multiple websites, and I
am not admitting that I do this. I'd like to go on the record and be very clear about this.
I've got websites saved on my computer where if I want to say, let's say, Chelsea is playing right now in the EPL. They are in the Champions League right now. Playing Krasnodar in match day 2 of 6 in the group stage of the Champions League. If I want to watch Chelsea play and it's not readily available on one of the big networks, it's very simple for me to just go online, click a couple of buttons, and stream that game for free somewhere, right? I can go stream that game for free, and it's no proverbial skin off my teeth, so to speak. And that's true of every sport, even the big ones, right? Yeah, like the NFL is going on right now, and you got the National Football League taking place right now. And if there's an NFL game on a Sunday that is blacked out or unavailable regionally, well, I'm not just going to accept any other game, and I may not want to pay $70 a month or for whatever it is to watch on the Red Zone, right? I'll go to one of my sites. I'll pull up that out-of-market game for free, and stream it right to my laptop, HDMI cord that bad boy into my TV and watch it on the 55-inch, and it's not going to show up in the ratings, right? I'm not going to show up in the ratings because they don't mark the streaming numbers. You know, you and I have talked about this, Diesel. I mean, look, there's been Appy State games that you've wanted to watch that are unavailable, and we just go find a stream for it. You are not going to show up in the ratings for that game, even though you absolutely watched it. I got to think there's probably a decent-sized percentage of people, Diesel, that are streaming all of their games now, and that doesn't help reporting for television ratings either.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Definitely don't do that.
I've never done that. But honestly, unless you're one of those people who just loves spending a ton of money on television and love just like throwing $200 plus a month at your TV provider or your satellite provider, you're eventually going to run into a game that is not available on your television package or is behind some sort of stupid paywall that one of the major networks decided we're going to hide all of our stuff behind a paywall, and you're not going to be able to watch it. And you're probably not going to know until, like, people are at your house, the popcorn is popped, the pizzas are opened, the beers have been cranked down for the last three or four beers apiece, and all of a sudden, bam, you can't watch the game. And you're like, ah, crap. Like, what am I going to do? And then you figure out how to do it, and you're like, oh, why did I ever pay for this in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, and that's growing. I know the execs don't like it. I mean, typically those streaming sites, not that I would know from experience, at some point they're gonna get pulled down. But they just move somewhere else, right? They just change a couple of characters in the title, move to another server, and then they're there for a while. So, there are a lot of reasons that ratings are down. Some of them are better than others, but I want to add that one to the mix. You know, we talked about earlier the fact that 2020 is bananas, and especially now we're 7 days away from the election. It is an election that is being called arguably the most consequential of our times. Of course, you know, every year, every
they
time
say
we
that
have
every
an
time.
Election, I was going to say that. I say it every time, but let's be honest, and I don't want to get into the politics of it necessarily, Diesel, but be honest here. I mean, can you think of, and I'm including the 2016 election in this, can you think of an election that the two sides of, unfortunately, an only two-sided debate in this case, can you think of an election in hell, let's go at all, but certainly in the lifetime since you and I have been eligible to vote 17-ish years ago, can you think of an election that has had more in terms of projected consequence than the election that we will be voting on 6 days from now? I honestly can't. And
I'm trying to remember back into specifics of every election. You know, the fun thing about politics and the election is based on the system that we have. We're going to keep having the same arguments every 4 years. It's like, how do you feel this? How do you feel now versus how you feel about this?
Sure.
How you felt about this issue 4 years ago. People are simple creatures. We tend to vote for the same issues that we voted for 4 years ago and 8 years ago and 12 years ago and 16 years ago. We're all voting for the same things over and over and over. We're not progressing past those certain issues.
I agree with that to some level, right? To some level of that, there are issues. How do you feel about America's involvement in conflicts around the globe? How do you feel about the proper way to hang on to the economy? Should we expand or contract the social net? And all of those are there. But there's a philosophical difference in how we believe our politicians should be patterned, how they should look, how they should act, et cetera, that I feel is on the ballot in a way that hasn't been in the past. I think in previous elections, we have been in spots where we are voting less on the character of the politicians and more on the things that they act and stand, the way that they approach those issues you were just mentioning that I don't think is a little more involved than in this election than in years past. But the point of that, I'm not trying to get into that debate per se. The point is that for most people that you talk to, or at least that I talk to, I mean, I can only talk on my own experience here, but for most people that I have been talking to regarding this election, this is they feel a more emotional and therefore more important election than we have had in years past. And because of that, they are more involved in it than they have been in years past. I think you can look just at the early voting turnout so far and see that, right? Texas, and I saw this yesterday, and I'm pulling this number off the top of my head, so it may be off a little bit, but it's relatively close. Early voting in Texas, Diesel, has had something like 70% of total votes cast in the state of Texas in the entire 2016 election. That includes early voting and election day voting. In 2016, you had we have had 60 to 70% of those same amounts of votes cast just in early voting in Texas so far during this election. That's how important it is to people. They are getting involved and voting in numbers. Look, we're going to have a record election turnout next Tuesday on the 3rd when you combine election day votes and early voting. Is this going to be, we're going to have more people vote in this election than we have ever had vote in an election in the history of this country. And it's not just because we have more people, but people are seem to be way more involved than they have ever been involved in the past. So because of that, people are looking and they are tuning out of sports to tune into that. And then you add on top of that, and this is one part that I have been complaining about regarding elections in the past couple of years. Unfortunately, our politics has turned into, Diesel, what feels like a sporting event, right? Like it's us versus them. It's more about my side winning and your side losing than here are my side's issues and what are your side's issues. Let's debate them. It's turned into a discussion about us versus them. It's almost tribalistic in many ways. And because it is tribalistic in many ways at this point, it has become a sport in and of itself, right? Debates are going up against NFL games and they're getting higher numbers than they ever had before in terms of ratings. So that is just one more thing that has chewed into the ratings of sports over the years in a way that I don't think we've ever had to deal with in previous election years. Oh, and on top of that, it is election season, a point in time in the past that baseball would have been over by now. Basketball would have been over well before it was. You would have had all these things wrapped up before we really got into the meat and potatoes of the election, whereas this year's election started earlier than it's ever started before, and sports have gone later than they've gone before, which gets us to a spot where people are tuning out because the election and all of the things in American life that are attached to it have got an importance that feels attached to them more this year than ever before, and because of that, the ratings are down. The only point that I'm making is that there are multiple factors that go into these ratings that a lot of people are just trying to dismiss. Oh, people don't want to hear the messages of these players. I don't think that's it. I think there's a lot of other things involved. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307, 71307. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate. And if you got something more long format that you don't want to come on air with, you can email me, robbrown@espnupstate.com. Let's take a quick break. When we come back here in just a second from right now, we've got a lot more in the world of football, and we'll start looking ahead to our Carolina Falcons matchup. This is a big game for the Carolina Panthers, one that I think may very well have an impact on the future of that program. I'll tell you why when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. Rob and Diesel with you on a Wednesday afternoon. We got that news out of the Big Ten yesterday evening that Wisconsin is having to postpone all football activities for at least 7 days because of an elevated number of coronavirus cases within that program. That means their game coming up this weekend against Nebraska has been canceled. And because the Big Ten waited so long to start their season up, they do not have any flexibility in their schedule. And so that game is outright canceled. There will not be a makeup game between Wisconsin and Nebraska. We'll talk about that later on. But Fred from TR wants to get in here, talk a little Big Ten ball. Fred, welcome. Good to have you, buddy.
Yeah, I was wondering how long it would take for the Cornhuskers to beat somebody after losing at home to Troy. And they come and beat Wisconsin. How about that? Now, that reminds me of the days where they used to put 70 points on everybody who played them. So it's nice that they're back in the first place, I guess. It's tied for second. I have a hypothetical question. Let's say we got a coach who retires and his team just won the national championship, right? And his replacement comes in and fails to make the even a bowl game or having a winning season in 4 years, right?
Okay.
You going to give that guy a four-year contract extension?
I mean, probably not.
That's all I'm asking. Trade deadline is Tuesday, right?
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Appreciate it. I feel like Fred had someone very specific in mind asking that question. So Nebraska, Wisconsin was set for 3:30 on Saturday. It is now canceled. And of course, this is having people ask, like, what is the deal with college football, right? The prediction amongst most virologists and epidemiologists is that the coronavirus will get worse in the winter time. Obviously, since the virus struggles a little bit more during the in cold weather than it does in survives a little bit better in cold weather than it does in warmer climates. And we are starting to see, as temperatures around the country are starting to fall, we are seeing a tick up in the number of cases reported. I think like 39 states right now are trending back up in the number of coronavirus cases. And this is not something, again, I am not a virologist nor epidemiologist, but I know there have been at least a couple so far of cases where people have tested positive for the coronavirus a second time. We do not know if those are, you know, mutated strains of the virus, or you can just lose your antibodies after a certain amount of time. To my understanding, the science is not all the way in on that yet. But obviously, if it does start to show up, if people who have been tested positive before are tested positive a second time for coronavirus, that is going to have to change everything about the way that we approach this virus moving forward. Now, with that being said, there are questions about, you know, whether or not college football is going to have to make any radical changes regarding the way that we are approaching games as we start to see more teams like Florida, like Wisconsin. We've seen other teams that have struggled. Hell, would you guys go, Diesel, four games or 4 weeks between games because of it?
Like 26 days, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's a number of teams that have had to sit out. We saw Charlotte, the football team from Charlotte, have to sit out a handful of weeks because of positive cases. Wisconsin is now out as well. So, you know, it is a big question. that's being asked right now about what the future is for college football. And I hope that between what's happening right now with Wisconsin having to give up a game, those two teams are now going to back down to just seven games. If Wisconsin, who, by the way, is a top 10 team in the AP poll right now, I don't necessarily think Wisconsin was going to be around for the playoffs, though we do not know for sure yet. I'm wondering if that is going to be something that could impact the playoffs, right? And if it is going to impact the playoffs, it impacts all of college football at this point. So there's lots of question marks with Wisconsin having to sit out, with Florida having to sit out and miss that LSU game. They just got back onto the practice field today, did the Florida Gators, for the first time in, a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. They just got back into the mix. And because of that, you got to think that other college football programs are looking around right now and taking this more and more seriously as we head towards the end of the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I've been flipping around. I know Paul Feinbaum was on ESPN earlier today asking, are we going to be able to finish football or are things going to fall apart because of this? I don't know is the answer. And I think that's the big thing about 2020 as a whole, both in the world of sports and, ultimately in real life, right? We don't know so many things, and this is one of them. We don't know what is this going to do to college football. Is this going to change college football at all? Is this going to have an impact on our playoffs? Is this going to have an impact on bowl games? Or, is the Big Ten going to be able to finish the season, right? If Wisconsin goes that 7 days and end up having to postpone another game, there's no postponing in the Big Ten, it's straight up cancellation. If they have to go another 7 days and cancel another game, will that change the way the Big Ten approaches football? Will they ultimately sideline Wisconsin permanently? I don't know. And look, our job in this career is to have opinions on things. It's to formulate opinions based on all the information, pass those opinions, and have conversations with you. But I've told you guys since I got here, I don't mind telling you that I don't know something. Sometimes there's just not enough data, not enough numbers, not enough evidence to say that you know something for sure. Sometimes you just don't know things. And I think this is one of those times, right? I think this is one of those times. I don't know what this does to college football, and I don't know that we can know at all. The best we can do is look at these teams, look at Florida and Wisconsin and the Charlotte, all these teams that have struggled with the coronavirus, and say to every other team, look at them, recognize, understand how influential, how dramatic the results of your struggles are to college football, and keep your ship afloat. Keep your ship in order so that other folks don't have to deal with this. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN. That's the number. Started with ESPN, so it comes through to Diesel and I. Quick break. Back after this to wrap up hour number one and then hit Twitter trending topics on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. Carolina v. Atlanta tomorrow night in a game that may or may not have Run CMC back in the backfield for the Panthers. Obviously, it would be big if they did. But look, this is a prove-it game for the Carolina Panthers. This is a game that I think they have to have if they are going to show that they are truly better than we give them credit for, right? We're looking at a Carolina team that is better than anybody expected. Tough L to the Saints this past weekend. I mean, who knows if that sack that Marcus Davenport had on Teddy Bridgewater is 1 or 2 yards, 1 or 2 yards closer than it ended up being, was a 7-yard sack. If it had been a 6 or a 5-yard sack and Sly's kick goes through the uprights, we may be talking about a different result at the end of that game, right? So Carolina's right there on the cusp of showing that they're already ready to turn a corner. I mean, look, this is the same team that we were talking about leading up to the offseason, asking if they should tank for Trevor. If they should decide to go 0-16 and bring in Trevor Lawrence, keep him right here in the Carolinas, and you know, try to move on from one generation by starting the Trevor Lawrence era there in Carolina. Instead, they are competing. Instead, they are busting it. They're playing decent football, and they've been doing it the past five games without the best offensive player on the books. They got wide receivers stepping up left and right. The defensive back could use some work, but Jeremy Chinn's out there running all over the field, making big time plays. This Carolina team is much, much closer, and I will go ahead and eat all the crow you want to give me. I said that I did not necessarily believe in Matt Rhule. I thought that Matt Rhule ran a system that worked exceptionally well at the college ranks. I said that Matt Rhule is a guy that when he was at Baylor, there were stories going around on the internet. And this, I don't know why this stuck with me as much as it did, but when he got there, he was all about the wide open offense. But at some point, he realized he was going to have to mix in some pro style and not just go with the air raid, because when the passes weren't working, he would have to open up the offense and run a little bit more. But he didn't know how to do it. And so Matt Rhule was going around the state of Texas to high school programs. And granted, Texas has got some high school programs that rival a lot of small college programs around the country, man. Have you ever been to Texas high school football? There's some crazy stuff down there. They got stadiums for high schools that there are, smaller FCS schools that are envious of. When I look at Matt Rhule having to go and ask high school coaches in Texas, how do I run a pro style offense at Baylor? That to me said, how's this guy going to coach in the pros when he can't run a pro style offense? But so far, he has adapted his system to the weapons that he has. He has changed his systems based on the weapons that he has that are available on game day. And I think that I think that Matt Rhule is doing a better job than I was giving him credit for doing when he showed up at Carolina. But this is a prove-it weekend for them, taking on the Atlanta Falcons, a Falcons team that is struggling mightily. A Falcons team that consistently continues to find ways to screw up games. I mean, come on, look at the way they looked. They lost that Detroit game. All they had to do, listen, Atlanta had to not score a touchdown and they win that game. Don't score the touchdown and you win the game. And they couldn't get that right. They couldn't get not scoring a touchdown right. You have to beat this Falcons team. Here's the problem. It's not a gimme game for the Panthers. They are offensively going to have to go, because as much as they have been bad, the Atlanta offense is waking up a little bit, right? Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Todd Gurley, those guys came alive. Those guys came alive last week. And because they came alive last week, their offense is starting to show up. Carolina's defensive backs have been a weakness. Eli Apple got cut yesterday. He just walked off the practice field, said, I can't go on my hammies. The coaches said, why don't you go ahead and take off? And when he did that, they cut him. Eli Apple was supposed to be a difference maker in the defensive backfield, but he hasn't been, right? To the point that they let him loose. And so because of that, the weakness of the Panthers is something that the Falcons match up with well. This is not a gimme game for the Carolina Panthers, which means that Carolina is going to have to play their best game this week. And if they do that and they win this game, despite the Falcons' strengths matching up to the weaknesses of the Carolina Panthers, I think that Carolina has an opportunity here. This is a must-win game for Matt Rhule, Teddy Bridgewater, that offense, but specifically for that defense as well. Step up, beat the Falcons, and you will have people believing in you. Find a way to lose tomorrow to a one-win Falcons team on Thursday night, prime time. You're the only team's playing. Find a way to eat that L tomorrow night. And all the confidence that's been building around this Panthers team, if you drop to 2-5, I think floats away very quickly, and you go all the way back down to the starting spot. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text me at 71307. Start your text with ESPN, and I'd love to have you there. Let's take a break. We come back. Diesel guides us through Twitter trending topics. We talk about what you're talking about around the upstate. Diesel gives me a topic that is trending on Twitter without looking up why it is trending. I give you 30 to 45 seconds of my thoughts on it. That's coming up next. My name is Rob Brown. My man Diesel's pushing the buttons and switches. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN.
Well, normally I'd launch into it, but I know you're going to call an audible, so just go ahead and do what you're going to do. Because apparently your story is more important than this bit.
It absolutely is. Senator Ron Johnson is a sitting United States senator. Ron Johnson is from the state of Wisconsin. Ron Johnson, along with a couple of other senators, were having a... We're having a Zoom meeting today along with Mark Zuckerberg and a handful of other big social media tech giants.
Was Jeffrey
today.
Toobin in the Zoom?
I don't know, but God, I hope he was. So Ron Johnson. All right, let me explain to you. And young people, listen to me and listen to me well. Okay? Get involved. Become leaders. Become people who make change, because there are so many people who just don't get it, right? Twitter is a place where people go to have fun. Granted, it's turned into a hellscape recently because people are angry online all the time. But Twitter's a place we go to have fun. And one of those things that you do sometimes is you send clearly facetious, clearly satirical tweets accusing people of doing things that obviously aren't real. Like, for instance, if you were to jokingly accuse a senator, well, I don't know, of like... strangling your dog in front of your son. That would be a ridiculous thing that you would say about a United States senator, right? That you would tweet out because it's a joke and it's funny on Twitter. Ron Johnson, addressing the chairman of Twitter and addressing the chairman of Facebook today, did this in public.
Your policies toward misinformation, and that you will block misinformation if it's about against civic integrity, election interference, or voter suppression. Let me give you a tweet that was put up on Twitter. It says, Senator Ron Johnson is my neighbor and strangled our dog Buttons right in front of my 4-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter. The police refused to investigate. This is a complete lie, but important to retweet and note that there are more of my lies to come. Now, we contacted Twitter, and we asked him to take it down. And here's the response. Thanks for reaching out. We escalated this to our support team for their review, and they have determined that this is not a violation of our policies.
But man, Charlie's being mean to me.
Y'all, some dude clearly jokingly accuses a senator of coming to his house and choking his dog to death in front of his 2 children. And this senator's like, Twitter's bullying me. Oh, man, if you don't understand Twitter, if you don't understand Facebook, I'm sorry, and I know this is, I don't mean this to sound ageist, but if you don't understand Twitter and you don't understand Facebook and you don't understand how ridiculous and fun we get on social media, can you really be in charge of the government, right? Like, if you don't get Twitter, can you be in charge of the government? And can you? Dude got angry that a random Twitter user accused him of choking out his dog in front of his children. And the guy's like, Twitter's bullying me and they won't do anything about it. Dude, obviously that's not true. Like, obviously that didn't happen. Come on, man. Come on. I love it so much. I really do.
All right, let's get into Twitter trending topics. You can be quick on each one of these. Topic number one is the Kardashians.
I don't care about the... Oh, yeah, I do know why they're trending. Because Kim put out this tweet where she's like... I guess Kim is either... She either got the Rona or she had to take a bunch of tests for it.
No. Kim Kardashian turned 40 and she screened all of her best friends
and then flew them to a private island
yeah.
to have a birthday party yeah. for her, and the internet is just dunking on her.
Yeah, because she's like, after multiple screenings, I flew all my friends to a private island so we could pretend life is normal for a while. And Twitter's just like, what a punk, man. Like, that's your in a world where Diesel and I can't go to Hooters and have a beer, Kim's like, well, we went to a private island just so things could feel normal for a little. Oh, Kim, we're so sorry that life has been tough for you, you freaking 100 millionaire with multiple gigantic mansions and yachts in a private island. Gosh, Diesel, when I can't go out and grab beers with more than four of my friends at a time, what a tough life for the Kardashians. Shut up.
When you said Kim had multiple gigantic somethings, I thought you were going to go somewhere completely different with that.
No.
Next
topic.
I don't
say anything nice or complimentary about the Kardashians.
Next topic, the Utah Jazz.
The owners of the Utah Jazz have decided that it is time to go ahead and sell that team, which is the right thing to do. After 35 years of stewardship, the Miller family has entered into an agreement to sell the Utah Jazz, according to ESPN. They'll be selling it for plus $1.6 billion. The Jazz have not had a pretty history recently. Remember, you had the multiple fans being accused of screaming racist sentiment at opposing teams there. That's happened a handful of times recently. Obviously, it was the Jazz that had the first round of coronavirus positive tests that ended up leading to the postponement of the NBA season and forcing them into the bubble. And really, the NBA was the first sport that reacted that way to the Rona. And once that happened, all the other teams kind of had to fall in line behind them in postponing. But Utah Jazz getting new ownership, and if there was a team that needed it, them, the 76ers, and the Knicks were it.
Yeah, can we please include in that deal to send the name of the Jazz back to New Orleans where it belongs?
Thank you, Diesel. Thank you so much. Have you ever been to Utah? There's no Jazz in
None
Utah.
None whatsoever.
There's no Jazz
None
in Utah.
None whatsoever.
That is the least sensically named team in all of professional sports. Like, they should just call themselves the Utah We Drink Openly at Bars and Enjoy Punk Rockers, because that'd be the only name that makes less sense.
Next up, Omaha.
I'm assuming that Peyton Manning didn't recently go screaming Omaha, Omaha into the TV. Donald Trump, I believe, held a rally in Omaha. And after it was over, I don't know exactly what happened. I didn't read through it. But apparently a bunch of his supporters got stranded there last night because of some issues. I don't know what happened, Diesel. I just know that things did not go well for the president's rally in Omaha.
Yeah, so after the president left, people were stranded on the site of the rally because shuttle buses were supposed to take them back to whatever location, but the shuttle buses couldn't return because traffic was so bad, so people were stranded standing around for hours waiting for shuttle buses to come back and pick them up.
Politics!
Next up, Frank Ocean is trending.
Frank Ocean is since I can't look these up and not know why Frank Ocean is trending, instead I'm just going to talk about the movie Ocean's 11 for just a second.
It's his birthday, if you wanted to know.
Okay, happy birthday, Frank Ocean. I'm still going to talk about Ocean's 11 because that's better. Can anybody explain to me why it was that Julia Roberts dumped George Clooney, told George Clooney she don't want to be around? George Clooney robs her current boyfriend blind in what is obviously dozens and dozens and dozens of felonies that will eventually send him to jail for years. And Julia Roberts is like, oh, now we should get back together. Yeah. That is the biggest, dumbest plot hole of that entire movie.
I went through this whole time thinking that we were talking about Billy Ocean, not
Frank
Ocean. No,
that's a different
Ocean. And I'm depressed.
That's the one who wants
Billy.
You to get out of his dreams and get into his car, which is a little weird.
Right.
It's a weird pickup line.
Next up, Tiny Toons.
Tiny Toons was a cartoon that I used to watch way back in the day when I was a youngin'. And there is a resurgence of classic cartoons from back in Diesel and I's childhood that are being brought back today. The Animaniacs is coming back. Pinky and the Brain is coming back. DuckTales, woohoo, is back, and it's actually a really good one.
It's because we are all in a suspended state of adolescence.
We might as well be because,
I just want to get our shows back.
Yeah. Well, because look, the way that the economy is built nowadays, it's very difficult for millennials to get ahead. So we might as well just revert back to what we, the Tiny Toons, which were, you know, the Babs Bunny and Young Bunny cartoon from the day, they're remaking it. But instead of being Tiny Toons, now it's going to be Tiny Toons Luniversity. So now it is all the Tiny Toons characters from back in our day when we were childhoods. Now they're going to college. And, you know, what the hell? We might as well jump full speed. And just as long as the Animaniacs are coming back, I'm totally in.
I mean, Saved by the Bell when they went to college sucked, so we should probably not do this with Tiny Toons. But they're going to do it anyway because money.
Way to just crap on my happiness at the end of the show. That's it! Mark Ryan, Lonzo, up next with Lonzo and the host. Make sure you stick around for that. Thanks for listening, y'all. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. It's the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Later!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.